Hello and welcome to The Inner Gamer, episode 189. We are your weekly dose of video game news, reviews, opinions, and discussions made for and by our listeners. This guy's name here is Brett Yanosky.
And I'm Austin Morales. And this week on The Inner Gamer Podcast, I play Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Oh, well, I finish it. And I have a lot to say on it.
Yes, it does.
Not so positive. And in the news, Red Dead Redemption 2 gets a huge information dump about its world and its cities. And we have some very, very sad news about Telltale Games. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. And in the discussion topic, we talk about Nintendo and the Switch in an online world. We dive into what's been released and what we have hopes in the future and what maybe they can do better. And that is it. So I'm going to cue that music. Welcome to the Inner Gamer.
It is September 25th, 2018. Welcome to the Inner Gamer Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we'd love for you to support us on Patreon. For as little as $12 a year, you can make this podcast better, help us afford more and more events, more and more podcast equipment, all the things we need to keep bringing this content to you each and every week. Please head on over to theinnergamer.net and click donate to contribute. In addition, if you're in the DFW area, we are having an event at Fort Brewery in Fort Worth on October 3rd. That is a Wednesday. That is coming up in literally about a week in one day. So be there, be square. It'll be fun and exciting. And Austin's going to do a keg stand.
I will do that shit. If you come out and you donate, I will keg stand for you.
It's got to be the $30 a month tier.
Yeah, every $30. Required. Either multiple people to $30 or one person $30, I will fucking keg stand.
If we can find a keg.
And a stand.
Yeah. Asterisk. Funny jokes. Anyway, so Austin, I've been playing Spider-Man this week, but I'm not going to talk about that because
good.
You have completed Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
I have.
And you have thoughts.
Lo and behold, I have completed what I set out to do.
So last week, we talked a lot about the character and how she hasn't really changed from 1, 2, 3.
Right.
This week, you have completed the game, so has
I've seen the
that
arc
happen? Has she changed yet, or is she still the same character?
She changed for a moment, and then she went back to exactly who she was.
A whiny little girl.
I am so disappointed in this game. For one, like I said last week, I am a huge fan of the series. Grew up on it, basically. And I enjoyed the last two games.
Isn't this one of the first games you ever played?
Yeah, it's one of the first ones.
Like, you had, like, something that, like, didn't your dad buy you this game? Like,
yeah, my dad came home one Christmas when the PlayStation was released, and then he brought home Tomb Raider, and we played that all Christmas.
Awesome. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a great little family story with my dad.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, like I said last week, again, I was hoping to see this major change in Lara and have her become this strong, fierce woman who is set, how do I want to put this, who has this fire in her eyes, maybe even almost a little cold and reserved. I think that's what I was looking for. And kind of like, because in the original Tomb Raider, she's kind of a quiet loner person.
Yep.
And this one, she's not, which is fine. Like, I think that's a great dynamic change, but I think she still should have kept some of that characteristics or like gain those characteristics over time to kind of sort of match the old Lara that we know and love, at least those who played the game and love the game. So it was sad to see after completing this game that that arc wasn't very good. And I think this easily could have been set up for a Game of the Year nomination. But after this, like, no, not whatsoever. And I heard some people are completely digging this game and like put down Spider-Man for it, but it is not worth putting down Spider-Man to play this game.
Yeah.
It's sad, but some of the good stuff is that if you like the tombs are really fun.
I would hope so, because it is the Tomb Raider.
Right, right. Yeah. So I only played one, but I didn't really go in because I was really more excited.
Wait, are the tombs like
they're spread
not
out
main
the,
content?
They're on your path when you're playing the game, so you can go out and get rewarded for completing them. But I was just like, you know what?
But they're not like requirement to progress through the story?
No.
Interesting.
Well, there's side tombs. Now you go into like
there are caves tombs that are part
stuff.
Of the story.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah, so you have to like traverse yeah, through yeah. them and, you know, figure out some puzzles here and there, which weren't that complicated.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you like that, it's worth picking up because they had that in the other one. And I think I did most of the tombs in the last one. But this one, I was just like, eh, it's whatever. But I didn't say last time was I love the setting. Like, it's set in Mexico. There's not a lot of games that are set in Mexico.
Yeah.
They kind of dive into that whole culture and, you know, some of the Indian tribes there. And it was really cool for them to kind of fill out that part of the world that doesn't really get filled out a lot. Or, I mean, we're always in like the Middle East or in the UK or, you know, Asia or something like that. But this is like, I feel like it's new territory because they did a hell of a job like bringing this world to life.
Would you call it uncharted territory? That's funny.
Yes, yes.
Sorry.
So the game really didn't get good till the fourth half. And even then, it was a little lackluster.
Wait.
The fourth part of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not the fourth
the
half.
Last quarter.
There's a mission where you and Jonas are going down this river, and then like a helicopter comes and attacks you, so y'all get separated. And this is the point where like Laura gets fed up with a lot of stuff, and she goes, well, she loses all her weapons, so she has to do stealth. Like, you're forced to do stealth.
Okay.
Because in the other missions, you can do stealth, or you can just go in guns blazing and blow everyone away with your pistols, shotguns, machine gun, or
is it harder if you do guns blazing?
It is.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a lot of armor, like, whatsoever.
Yeah.
And you don't have a lot of health.
What are the stealth mechanics in this game that, like what can you do stealth-wise other than, like, crouch through, like, grass, high grass and stuff like that?
I guess one of the more notable ones is now you can, like, lean up against a wall. So you can put mud on you, and you can lean up against a wall, and people can't see you.
Camouflage yourself, yeah.
So that's cool because, like, they'll come around the corner, walk right next to you, and then you just, you know, take them down. One of the other ones is, I think they had this in the last one too, you can climb up in a tree and then like shoot them.
Yeah.
But I think this time you can shoot them with an arrow and then pull them into the tree. Kind of like
cool.
Spider-Man
yeah,
does.
Yeah,
yeah. When you're like above and you shoot them. Yeah. So you jump down and then they go up and they die.
Do you ever have parts of the mission in which you have to have Laura take a bath because she's muddy from concealing herself?
There's a lot of points where you go from like mud to water to mud to water.
Okay, it's so you like basically you're miraculously clean yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, you're just.
Gosh,
clean.
I would not want to see those clothes after like 5 days
of
battling people.
I don't even know how they stay on because she's getting cut, hit, shot at.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
She literally just be dead. So it was nice to like have this moment where it's like you have to survive and use these tactics that you learned this whole time. And I think that made for a really fun game. Minus that, like, I could use my bow and shoot them in the head and they're dead. It's like, okay, well, blow past all these guys, get to my next plot point, whatever. So that was nice. And then like her dynamics changed and her mentality. Like, it was nice to see that like she battled this guy who found her on the river and like she didn't give a fuck anymore. She's like, I'm going to kill this motherfucker right now.
Yeah.
And like she murdered him in like cold blood. Like, he was like, no, please don't do it. And she's just like, all right, this is it. I'm done. I'm fed up. Blah. And like, she goes this whole mission. And then this is a really great scene. It's in the trailer when she falls in this water and she comes up and there's a bunch of fire behind her. Like, super iconic.
Yeah.
Like, that's the stuff I've been wanting to see this whole time. Like, this is a mission that should have been in the very beginning.
Yeah.
I think it would have set the pace for a lot and have Laura have this mentality all the way up to the end of this game. Which didn't happen, which is why I think the story was subpar. I mean, I guess it's a B movie, but it's not even a B movie story.
Yeah.
If there was a C movie story, I'd give it that. Like, a lot of the stuff, a lot of the plot points are very rough. And I think with that, like, the pacing is rough as well. But I think that's pretty normal in an open world game, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was expecting something more, like, yeah, you have these tombs. Like, they want you to explore the world because you have these little cities that are like little towns that you come into where people live. And it's like a hub town. Like, you can get missions and talk to people and do all this other like little side stuff that you can do in like other games. So, sort of like God of War. But God of War was so focused and like the missions weren't like so plentiful where you could, you know, you go and complete something, and you know you're going to get something good for it. And I'm sure you're the same here. I only played one side mission. I didn't want to do any other ones because, first off, the NPCs, the dialogue's awful, and the acting is god-awful. Like, I don't know what Square Enix was thinking, but it was not... I just did not want to do them. I didn't want to touch them.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, I know. So another thing was with the characters in general, like the main characters that you run with, they're very gamey in the sense that they have no hopes and dreams and desires outside of what is happening right now.
Yeah.
Like, they're very one-sided. They're not rounded out. Like, Lara's only a rounded out character because she has a past that she's trying to deal with. So it gives you a context of where she is, and there's that one child mission. It kind of gives you context of, like, where her mindset is, you know, and where her thoughts are.
Yeah.
So, like, that helps a lot. And they could just do that for other people. Like, they did a good job with Jonas in the beginning because you find out that he finds this girl that he likes, right?
Yeah.
And it's like that kind of helps round out his character a little bit. And I wanted to see more of that. And just it just never came to fruition. It's just very game-oriented story, like traditional game story. Like, all this stuff's happening. Now we got to deal with it. It's like, no, like, there's consequences. Like, your actions hold weight on certain things when you meet people and have to interact with people. Like, it's not just, oh, okay, let's go get the relic. Okay, we got the relic. Okay, we got to kill the bad guys. All right, okay, on to the next mission. It's like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm 30 and I want more.
Holy shit, you're 30.
I just want more.
You want more? More what?
I want more story and more, like, cohesiveness that, like, interacts. Like, people have... Like, in movies, when you write a movie, and, like, movies in general, usually other characters have hopes and desires and stuff that affect the plot. And then the main character's actions kind of, I guess, pave the way for certain events to happen, you know?
Yeah.
That's very general, too. Like, I'm not going to dive into, like, a whole analysis of movie stories or anything. But generally, I think that's what it is, at least for me or the stories that I'm drawn to. So it's just really sad that it didn't pan out the way I wanted to. I went back and I looked at Uncharted. I tried to compare the two. I even compared the last game of Rise of the Tomb Raider to this Shadow of the Tomb Raider, and I feel like the last game did it right. It was more believable, and the things that were happening and the characters seemed more cohesive and, like, really kind of meshed together really well. This one just didn't do it for me. And then Uncharted, like, I was trying to see, like, story-wise, how Uncharted did it, Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
And a lot of those characters have a lot of weight on them. They carry a lot of baggage, and that stuff comes up because you have the scene with Nate and his wife, and it's like, yeah, he's on this mission doing the stuff. It's crazy. It's very game, you know, it's very game like, similar to this in a way. And then his wife comes in, you know, and he's trying to save his brother. So, like, there's some weight behind that. And now he's like, fuck, I got to deal with my wife. My wife wants to leave me. Like, you feel that pain and suffering that he feels.
Yeah.
And you just don't feel that here with Lara or any of the characters.
Yeah.
Maybe for a little bit, or kind of, you know, now that Jonas and her now have this, like, bonded relationship more so than the last game. Well, it's just,
just from
sad.
My experience, like, watching the trailers and not knowing much about it, like, you can tell that this is a world centered around Lara Croft specifically.
Right. Yeah.
But I feel like that is kind of a detriment because, I mean, that is what makes the Uncharted series so good, and that Nathan Drake is the main character, but he is just as interesting as Sully and as his wife and as, you know, the bad guys.
Lena.
And then who's the one from why am I forgetting her name? She was so good.
Chloe,
yeah. Chloe and even Nadine, like, all of those characters are so strong in themselves, like, as characters, but they're not main characters. And that's, like, fascinating to have done that. Even Sam, you know, like, his brother, like, they're all, like, super interesting. They're super deep, like, their dynamics. They have positives and negatives, and, like, you hate them and then you love them, and then, like, all this stuff happens in this scenario. It's just a complex tree of entanglement of characters,
right? And meshes together so well.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you look at Chloe, like, you know, she has this accent, all right, that could be enough to define her character, but it's like what she says, how she says it, the things she's trying to hide, like, especially the things that she says, like, starts to fill out her backstory. Because all these characters, you start to fill out their backstory with what's happening. And Charlie 4, might have had a leg up because you got to see and play some of this backstory to help you put context into what's happening now. I did have an issue with some of the pacing in Uncharted 4, but overall, like...
Yeah, it was a little bit too long of a game.
Yeah.
But it was still, I mean, a well-rounded story. It looked beautiful.
Gameplay was fun.
Gameplay was a lot of fun.
Man.
I have heard that, like, the gameplay is better in Shadow and Tomb Raider.
It's a little more fluid.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like,
I like it.
But otherwise, like, I mean, I'm not playing Uncharted. I mean, I like Uncharted because it's simple enough to understand. The gunplay is not that great, but I can get past that because the puzzles are interesting. The worlds are interesting that you're navigating. And
right.
Then again, the story is so engrossing.
Right.
So, it's a bummer about Tomb Raider. I was hoping it would be better. I mean, I've heard a lot of people out there that are saying that they really enjoy it. They have a good time with it. So there are some positive aspects of that, but I think it's definitely going to get, no pun intended, overshadowed by other games this
yes.
year because it's yeah. such a strong year of games and story-based games that this is definitely a game that is going to kind of get forgotten.
It's sad.
Yeah.
Because like, I think because Rise of Tomb Raider, I thought it was overshadowed because of its release. And I actually thought it was a good game. Like, I thought it deserved some kind of Game of the Year award. And I was hoping that maybe this game might help make up for that, but
yeah.
it's not. I mean, it's sad. I really wish I could have gave it, like, put it as a contender. But
do you think, based on the ending of the game, that there's going to be more Tomb Raider? Or do you, I mean, it closed off, from what I understand, it closed off this trilogy.
Right, right.
But do you
yeah, it sets it up
there
for
to
her
be more?
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm curious if they'll do like a reboot of the last original games.
Yeah.
But just kind of put a new spin on it. Because that'd be kind of cool to see. But
using this character.
Yeah.
Because she is different, I feel like, than like the previous version of Lara Croft.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Oh, side note. I was watching the Rise of the Tomb Raider stuff and Jonas went from a black man to a Samoan man in this game.
What?
Yes. Like, he had that kind of, like, curly, fuzzy hair, right? That you see on, like, generally black people. And then this one, he has a ponytail, slick black hair, ponytail. I'm like, dude, you are not black. You're a totally Samoan or something. Some kind of Hawaiian islander or something.
Maybe he's mixed.
I don't know. It's possible. I think they did a reboot. They did a refresh of him for some reason. I have no why. I don't know why.
Well, it is like Detroit Become Human. I mean, they did that. I was looking at the old art and stuff like that. And like the little girl that you're with, you know, with the female character. What was that little girl's name in Detroit Become Human?
Don't even try to think of it.
Whatever her name is.
Yeah.
She was supposed to be a black character. And then she became a white character. And then the big guy that was the bodyguard was supposed to be a white character and became a black character.
That's in development. So. This is like released trilogy.
Well, yeah. But like, oh, you meant, well, you said from trailer though, right?
From the last game, he was black.
Oh.
He was black. Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. He is a black man.
Yeah.
In this game, he is not a black man.
Weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it was to match the context of where they were going. Who knows?
I don't know. That dude, that's kind of racist.
Maybe. I don't know.
Anyway, I give it...
Interesting.
I give it a delay. There's some fun moments on here. If you played the last ones, I mean, at least you can kind of wrap up this game. I think the tombs generally are pretty fun. I'll probably go back and play those because I do like doing those in the last one. But it's right on the border of ditch and delay, right on that border, man. It just wait till it goes on sale next year and you find some like downtime in the gaming year and you can knock it out.
So Jonah is actually from New Zealand, but he was raised in Hawaii. So he is actually Samoan.
Nice.
Maybe he just looked like a black guy. And he just didn't
look at Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Jonah.
He's different. Anyway, let's close this out, guys.
All right.
That's all we have for you today.
I've been playing Spider-Man.
No, don't do it.
And it was awesome. And that's all I have to say about it.
Awesome.
So the end. So yeah, that's going to wrap it up for our games we played this week. Don't forget, if you like what you hear, head over to theinnergamer.net and click donate to contribute. We'll be right back with our video game news.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
It is time for our video game news. In this segment, we share the best headlines in the week in the gaming industry. And boy, do we have some big news this week. We're going to start with some positive news, go with some not so positive news, and then just go through the rest of the news because there's a lot to talk about. So first up, Red Dead Redemption, literally Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming out October 26th. Today, as you're listening to this podcast, it's September 25th. So that means we are 1 month away from Red Dead Redemption 2. Austin, how hyped are you right now?
There's hype. Do you see hype? There's hype all around me.
So much hype. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
On me. I am hype.
And as such, they're starting to drop new information about it, including details on the locations that you'll be exploring within Red Dead Redemption 2. So they have shown things from the forests of West Elizabeth to the mountains of Amberino to the plains of New Hanover to the swamps of Lemoyne. So everywhere has a different type of area, kind of vibe and everything. Some of those towns include Valentine, the heartlands of New Hampshire. This is a raucous, rough and tumble town in the heartlands where there's livestock auctions attracting traders, ranchers, cowboys, gamblers, outlaws, and prostitutes from far and wide, all looking to make some money, raise some hell, and have a good old time. And then you have places like Annsburg and Roanoke Ridge, New Hampshire. Life isn't easy for miners and their families in this town. So this is a mining town where they have coal that is delivered up and down the river for almost over a century. Working conditions are not very good. You don't get much pay, and many men have lost their lives down in the pits. There's also an area in St. Denis and a place called Bayou NWA, LE. I don't know what LE is, but whatever. It's a key gateway into North America with the trade route that runs the length of the country. The bustling city of St. Denis is a melting pot of cultures and people where businessmen, socialites, sailors, laborers, beggars, and thieves all live side by side. And then we have Mount Hagen in the Grizzlies. This is one of the more well-known peaks in the snowy Grizzlies of Amberino. Mount Hagen is towering above Lake Isabella to the west and the Beartooth Beck to the east, provides the main pass through the western mountain range and joins up with the Dakota River further south. Very snowy, very like crazy and fun. And we have a place called Rhodes. This is a place that has tension and corruption running deep all throughout the southern town of Rhodes. For years, it's been caught in the crossfire between Braithwaites and the Greys, two warring plantation families. And then we have a place called Strawberry, which is a small logging town that has a new mayor, an East Coast-centric obsessed with transforming it into a cultural beacon for wealthy tourists, much to the bemusement of the locals. And finally, we have a place called Logris, which is in the Bayou. This is a small, remote town out in the swamps of the Bayou. The people of Logris live self-sufficiently for the most part, making a little money here and there from fishing and acting as guides for travelers wishing to navigate the region. So these are a lot of diverse locations all over the place.
Right.
So what do you think about what we've heard thus far with these different areas that you'll be able to visit in the game?
I think that's awesome. Like, I really like to hear this, like, and especially them, like, kind of filling out the world in the sense, like, we know it's going to happen before the game releases. And I'm hoping that these are the hub worlds that you get to go to in each region. Yeah. That'd be nice. Like, you go there, it's different. It has a different personality than the last region. And here, like, we'll start you on, you know, probably one major quest or several major quests for the region, and then all your side quests, and it's where you go shop and stuff, like just where you go at the end of the day to turn your quests and you know, get your gear you need, and you know, go have a drink or two,
yeah,
in game,
yeah,
with your peoples,
do some cards, play some poker,
yeah,
you know, all that good stuff. Yeah, what I like about the description so far and the visuals that they showed, so if you go to the Red Dead Redemption 2 website, you can see all these images of these different areas. I like that not only are they visually diverse in their landscape, but they seem to be culturally diverse as well.
Yep.
And that every area is vastly different. And like, you have warring plantations in one, you have a mining town that's suffering a little bit, you have a very wealthier kind of area. Like, there's different vibes to each region that probably not only are going to give you different benefits for trading and things of that nature, but you're probably going to have different types of missions that will carry you throughout the world that, you know, like, in the big wealthy town, you might be working with, like, you know, high dollar, like, you know, different types of quests and missions than you would be in the little mining town kind of deal. So I like that diversity being twofold.
Right.
So
now if they have the same set of towns in each region, I think that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like that. Because yeah. For me, that seems very cookie cuttery.
Are you thinking like the same, like these?
So like they have that, they have the town with all the thieves in like each region. They have the town with all the high.
I don't think they'll do that.
Each region.
Yeah.
I think they might not, but that's things that have been happened before, you know.
Yeah.
Several towns in each region, obviously different people, different personalities, but like generally the same setup.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way they lay it out, it seems like they're keeping it to where it's pretty. I mean, I would hopefully they don't do that because that would be.
I don't think they will, but it is potential that.
Yeah.
That's where it becomes really gamey to me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it sounds like these are going to be landmarks scattered throughout the world.
Right.
So that as you enter into different geographic types of locations, these are places that will have this type of thing. Kind of like in the last game, you know, you had Mexico, you had you had different regions of areas, and in each region there was a major city or town that you would go that would offer a certain set of like different types of things you do in that area. And I mean, obviously every single one of those towns is going to have traders and they're going to have those kinds of things, but they're also going to be points of interest that will give you new quest paths, maybe like set up like different acts of the game possibly.
Yeah.
There's some potential with that. So, we'll see. In addition to that, they've also given details about Red Dead Online. This will be launching, not with the game itself, which is good. They are going to launch it sometime in November 2018, about 1 month after the game releases, and it'll release first as a public beta. And they want everybody to know that not only are you going to get free access to Red Dead Online in the public beta, but that you want to be aware that this is going to be something that will need constant adjustments and updates. So don't expect it to be completely bug free. There's going to be issues and stuff. So people jumping into it early may not get the best experience as people that wait for a little bit longer, but still, like, I think it'll be worth jumping into just to see what it's like. And then it's going to be an ongoing service that'll be supported as well as GTA 5 online going forward. So they're going to be supporting both of these online platforms back and forth as time goes on. So that's really exciting, but I cannot freaking wait to see what they do with the RDR Online. I will play the shit out of that.
We'll see.
So now the bad news. Next story we have. This comes from Polygon. As of today, we found this out, or as of actually yesterday, September 21st, Telltale Games announced that they are laying off a majority of their staff. And then it later came out to be known that they are indeed shutting down their studio. So those of you who don't know, Telltale Games, which at this point you should, they are known for the Walking Dead series. They're known for Game of Thrones. They did Batman. They did The Wolf Among Us. They did a lot of story-based episodic content. The Tales from the Borderlands. Yeah. A lot of different games that they put out. A lot of great games. A lot of license-based games. Awesome stories. But as we talked about here, their engine was getting stale. They needed to do some updates, and it seems like things didn't happen soon enough for them. And
I mean, I guess the writing was on the wall. We have been criticizing them about like how things need to change, and it looks like that they were on that path to changing things. It's so sad to see them close. Like when you told me this happened, it felt like a death in the family. Obviously, not that extreme, but it felt like pretty shocking. Like I could not believe this is happening. They've been a staple in gaming for, what was that, 15 years or something like that?
Yeah, roughly 15 years.
Man, literally defining a generation. Like, some of the best storytellers in gaming. And this is horrible, man. Like, it is really, really sad to see these guys go. Now, maybe somewhere along the line, they'll, you know, band together, form with some other kind of studio or something. But, what are we going to do now?
I don't know. Well, even on top of that, so they just released on August 14th, the first episode of The Walking Dead, the final season. And the second is due to launch on September 25th. But after that comes out, they have sources from Game Informer and US Gamer that say that the final season will not be finished. So what's going to happen to those that bought the season pass is not yet known. But there are people that bought the season pass of The Walking Dead, and they are not going to finish The Walking Dead, the final season. So that's really disappointing as well, because I was going to buy that and jump into it because I was like,
I was thinking about it too.
I love that series. Right. And I wanted to see where it, how it ended.
Right, right.
How they concluded it, but it looks like they're not going to do that. They are going to work. They're working on a Minecraft story mode adaptation for Netflix. It's coming out later this fall. That's going to be completed with their skeleton crew of 25 that are left in the company. But after that, the studio is closing officially and they will no longer be in existence. Yeah. It's a very sad day for Telltale. We have always been big fans of their games, and despite our, you know, complaints about some of their issues and stuff, I still love their stories, still love their character development. Overall, I mean, I've always played at least a little bit of all the Telltale games, and it's a bummer to see that that kind of generational part of my life kind of come to an end.
Yeah, it's it's just like knowing an old friend passed away.
Yeah.
Well, I hope them the best. I hope something good comes of this with some of the main people, and they go on to create more games, better games.
Yeah.
Keep that story, just that story.
Yeah.
In a time when a lot of the games were like less story or like subpar stories. Like,
more
it's nice.
Shared world online and only experiences.
Yeah, or giant open worlds with like hardly any story in it. Like, it was nice to have these guys come around and be there for a significant amount of time,
right?
And provide, like, fill in that void for us, man.
Well, hopefully, I mean, they're all super talented, so hopefully they get on, do kind of like follow in the footsteps of Campo Santo, go off and start their own thing.
That'd be sweet.
Get something new going, still build good stories. I mean, because Firewatch, again, was a fantastic game, and now they got acquired by Valve, so they're working for Valve, and they got that backing. So I think there's some positive things. They're not going to have trouble finding work, so that's good.
Hope not.
Then they should be pretty good on that point, but it's a bummer. It's sad. This is sad and good at the same time. Battlefield 5 has a lot of changes they announced in a blog article following the open beta for the game when it comes out on November 20th. So after the game came out and people played the open beta, there was a lot of feedback about specifically the attrition system and then the player visibility, the death experience, time to kill, time to death, and then the vehicles and things of that nature. So with that said, they have announced a series of updates that they're going to be doing, including a change to the attrition system. So they liked having the limited ammo and health that was in the game. But according to polls from the open beta, they've seen that people want them to tweak attrition. So what they're going to do is that players are going to spawn mostly with a few more bits of ammunition for certain weapons, and other weapons will see an increased max amount for ammunition. They're also considering letting you start your fight with a health patch that can be used one time. And then supply stations are going to be removed in some areas. They're not going to be completely cut, but instead of being pre-built, they will need to be constructed by players, encouraging players to build things on the map instead of relying on certain spots to retrieve these things from. In addition to that, they're going to improve player visibility. So you won't have the spotting icons on top of the player's heads, or Battlefield 5 won't have the spotting icons on top of players' heads, making you rely on your vision for the spotting instead. This is forcing them to create the best visibility system the Battlefield has ever seen. Particularly on Rotterdam, they are going to add a distance haze, which will make players pop more, and you'll also see fixes to lighting levels and visibility bugs in general. They're going to make a tighter death experience, such as make it to where bleeding out goes much faster, so you're not waiting forever or having to click and hold down the button to die and respawn. They're adding a new functionality that when shot down, the length of your bleed out time will be taken into consideration when you get to the squad follow camera screen. If you spend a lot of time bleeding out, the waiting time in the squad follow camera before spawning will be shorter. This makes for a tighter experience and benefits medics, since players won't hesitate to shout out for help. And then the time to kill and the time to death are tied to how powerful the weapons of Battlefield are. So they're doing a bunch of changes to the weapons, some of which are going to get nerfed a little bit, and then some of which will get more powerful. So they're going to make some adjustments there, look in the netcode a little bit, and then see how they can handle the fixes in that sense. And then there's going to be a lot more vehicle types. So you'll have more stuff to interact with in the game. And yeah, better spotting for pilots and other things. You can see all the changes on their website detailing what they're going to do. And yeah, Austin, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I know someone said early on, well, I heard someone talk about it like early in the process of the when the beta came out. And it was like, oh, it's a very Call of Duty. But I was like, well, you know, I don't think it is. I think you live and die faster. Like, yep. you're gonna just die faster. The respawn time isn't a huge deal for me, but I do understand the whole, like, okay, let's just get back in the battle. Like,
yeah,
I think that's what Battlefield's been like. Let's just get back in the battle and push the front. And I see how doing this kind of slows that down. But
there were moments in there when you weren't alive that I was like, okay, this is annoying. So I do see that point. But again, they're trying to encourage squad play.
Exactly.
So really what needs to do is just you need to make sure, like, well, you can't make sure that your squad has a medic in there. But like, I feel like more people just need to be more open to playing medics and like getting more squad, like kind of like how when you're playing Overwatch, they do a really good job of letting you know you're missing these aspects of your team build.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
You're missing healers. You're missing support. You're missing assault or whatever. Something like that would probably benefit this game. Like you have a squad and then all of your squad mates become assault. Have a little of a notification when you're about to spawn and say, hey, no healers or no support, no this.
That'd be nice.
That would be a really cool feature to add in, because that would make it to where it would entice people a little bit more. Because that's what I always do. I sit there and wait till my team in Overwatch picks their shit and then I pick whatever's missing.
Right.
So typically it's a tank or a healer because nobody ever wants to play healers for whatever reason.
Right.
But I'll jump in a healer. I love playing healers. So I'll play that and get it done and call it a day. But I think that would help this game quite a bit.
I think it would too. And I think these changes are actually going to make it more Call of Duty, if anything. Like, apparently everyone on YouTube fucking hates this game. It's just trash this, trash that. They've done this, all this stuff. And now look at it. I feel like they actually have a pretty decent game. Yeah, it needs some polishing for sure. But like, man, now it's going to be something that I don't want. And I've wanted them to focus on squad play for a long time. I think they're doing something good here. You may disagree with me. And if you do, leave a comment. Hit us up on the emails.
Screw you. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I'm just like...
No, I agree. I think the limited ammunition was a much needed refreshing addition to the game.
Yeah.
Like I loved being, I've never used my pistol more than this game.
Exactly.
And I enjoyed that. And I never used my other weapons more, like my other abilities. Like it had me being more creative in the battle. But they said that some people were just like going in for like a quick death just so they could respawn with more ammunition. I'm like,
I see that.
Don't do
but
that.
That's why you have a team. See those people.
And you can pick up guns off the floor too.
Yes. And when you kill someone, you get their ammo.
Yeah.
Like there's a trade off here. Like when someone dies, it creates a point of contact because it's like, I need to go get that ammo or I need to go pick my friend up.
Right.
Right. Now people are focused on that point. So you have to like, for me, I feel it's more strategic.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah.
And now this is going to change. It could possibly be, cause I think, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know the last time you played Battlefield 1, but it kind of feels like they're trying to do Battlefield 1. And Battlefield 1 was less like this and more of like, I think, what they're trying to push for.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, like I feel like all the changes that they added to Battlefield 5 were much needed quality of life changes that made things better than Battlefield 1.
Right.
So the attrition system, I think, was great. I think the fact that they changed the way the bleeding out thing worked was great. Like the bleeding out, like, is kind of annoying, but if you just die, like you can spawn instantly on a squad mate.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. That was a great decision. Yeah. Like I never had to go up in the map view, hardly ever.
Yeah, and you can switch between your the people who are on the ground and see where you want to spawn.
Yeah. Like all those things are really, really nice to have. And I do like that the spotting isn't the same way. It's not as like blatantly obvious in the map like it used to be. Like they make it more more real in a way.
Yep.
But I don't see the comparison to Call of Duty at all. Like I don't know what people are thinking. People are like smoking something or whatever. Maybe smoking. I mean, some
I guess we're the biggest outliers in this community.
Probably. I know. Usually you're the outlier.
I know.
Here I'm the outlier with you.
Join it's me. Weird. Thank you. It's I mean, crazy. I get it. Like, if you're lone wolfing it, you're going to run out of ammo. Like, you don't have people there supporting you.
Right.
And it's hard for other squads to know what you need unless you call it out. And then that's, I think that might be a bigger issue too. And it's harder to find, like, who's dead.
Yeah.
Like, being a medic, like, I have to look at the ground. Medic,
but, yeah.
At the very least, I like how they're focusing. You get more perks. It is a more rounded gameplay for playing with people. And
yeah.
I understand people have an issue with that. And I think that is the issue, really.
It's people. People's exactly. issue.
Dang they're it, awful. People.
Stop doing that, y'all. Stop doing that. Anyway, so moving on. Something that we don't talk about enough, apparently, because it's always in the news. We should just become this podcast, but I don't like this game, so I don't want to do that. Fortnite is not slowing down its popularity. As of August, it had its biggest month ever with a grand total of 78.3 million people playing this game. So it has now actually surpassed Grand Theft Auto Online in terms of amount of people playing the game. This is the highest single month player figure for the game since it launched. And this actually helped a lot with Epic Games because it led them to some issues and exposed weak points and allowed them to make targeted improvements to critical systems such as stats and servers, Epic said. So it's a lot of people, but you have to realize as well that this game is free. So it's available to everybody that has console, PC, or mobile. So although it's a big statistic, I still think it's still very impressive that GTA Online has kept such a strong player base, considering it is a game that needs to be paid before you play the game. Like, you have to pay a $60 game or buy a $60 game before you can actually play it.
Right.
So it's pretty impressive that they've maintained such a strong status. And they have microtransactions in GTA Online, and they've been making a boatload of money off of that. It's also the best-selling game of all time, Grand Theft Auto 5 is.
That's crazy.
Selling well over, I think it's reached 100 million copies sold now or something like that.
Wow.
It's nuts.
Wow.
Take-Two Interactive is making freaking bank off of Rockstar right now. But Fortnite's also doing super, super well. They also have a cube that sank into Loot Lake, which is potentially a teaser for the upcoming Season 6. Season 5 currently is going to end at the end of September. So we are about to see, or no, maybe it's later than that. I don't know. Either way, Season 6. Oh, no, I take that back. Season 6 release date is set for next week. Season 6 is starting on September 27th. So prepare yourself for Fortnite Season 6.
Boom, boom, boom.
All right. So there is a dad who was at this prize machine at a place, and he sent his daughter, who is a toddler, into the prize machine to try and steal Nintendo Switch consoles from the machine.
Interesting.
He's 34 years old from Lawrence, Massachusetts. And according to Kotaku, he was charged by unauthorized taking, criminal trespass, and endangering the welfare of a child.
Oh.
He is a teacher, middle school teacher, currently on administrative leave, pending the outcome of an investigation. So this teacher, who has a child, was dumb enough to put his kid into a little hole to try and steal consoles so he could sell them, most likely.
Sir.
And it's pretty funny because he likely identified himself because the video footage of the incident did a pretty good job identifying him after a post was clipped, or there was a clip posted to Facebook. So he got in trouble, and there's a comment here by a guy named Drinky Bear that says, "Wonder if the snitches got switches." That's pretty good. So there you have it, folks. Don't send your child into a prize machine to steal consoles.
Yeah,
you will get arrested. All right. So everybody, PlayStation, they are working on
it's happening.
Something that Nintendo did the last couple of years, in that they are releasing the PlayStation Classic for $100.
Oh.
This is the mini version of the original PlayStation, complete with 20 PlayStation 1 titles. It is 45% smaller. It releases December 3rd, and it'll be $100, including games such as Final Fantasy VII, Jumping Flash, Ridge Racer Type 4, Tekken 3, and Wild Arms. And that's just a handful of what they're going to have. They haven't announced all of them yet. But it is small. It is pretty. It comes with the original controller like a replica of the original. It's not smaller. It's same size. It's got a cord on it. This is the Sony PlayStation before they added the analog stick. So that's weird to look at. But there you have it. $100. We'll see if it sells out like the other one did.
How much? Is that the same price as...
It's actually more than the NES and the Super NES.
Was it 45 or 75?
70.
Okay.
I believe. All so right. It's a little bit more. But I think it's cool. I don't know. What do you? How do you feel about this?
I dig the retro consoles, but I'm a guy who like...
Doesn't want to go back to those.
I've been
games.
So spoiled by the graphics this age. Like, I don't want to go back and play those.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't do it anymore. I don't know. It's just, that's just me. I know a lot of people love playing the classics. And this is great that Sony's kind of following that. I'm curious to know what, at the end of the day, like, who's making more money? Like, what sells more?
Right.
But
right.
We'll see. We'll yeah. see. I see this being a big deal, actually.
Yeah, it's already sold out on Amazon.
Bam. Look at that.
But
look
not sold out other places
that.
Yet.
Okay, all
but,
right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll talk about this in the next discussion, but I played some NES games, and I was like, not really feeling it right now, but I never grew up with those games, so I don't know. I'm not as into it as other people are.
Yeah, I get you.
So I'm super hyped about this. Austin is probably not, but I don't really care because I'm super hyped about it, and I can't wait. Forza Horizon 4 is coming out very, very soon. We're talking... September 28th. Actually, no, October 2nd, which is literally like 2 weeks from now, less than 2 weeks from now.
Jeez.
This is actually a day before our event, October 3rd. Make sure you're there, Fort Brewery, Fort Worth. Come on by and check it out. Forza Horizon 4 is going to have a day one DLC pack. This is a best of Bond car pack. Literally, every single car that's ever existed in James Bond has been created for release in the Forza Horizon game.
Yeah.
And it looks freaking awesome. 10 cars. All driven by James Bond in some form or fashion through some time of the world, including the old school cars all the way up to the latest Aston Martin Vanquish. It looks gorgeous. Go check out the trailer. It's awesome. One of which has like wings that pop out the side of it because I think that's what they did in one of those movies. It looks super cool and I cannot wait to play this game.
I think that's the one that just swims in water.
Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah.
It's like a boat or something. But either way, looks fantastic, and I'm pretty hyped about that. Last but not least, there was an article that came out, rumor, actually, on GameInformer.com, written by Elise Favis, where their news editor, Imran Khan, came out and found a little teaser inside Spider-Man, where I don't know if anybody's been playing Spider-Man much, but if you are in the map and you click the little like side menu, it pops out like a Twitter feed looking at Spider-Man's tweets and people responding to him and whatnot. And one of those tweets he found was from IG Ted Price, which is the Insomniac Games CEO. Mm-hmm. And he said, hey, did you hear that Insomniac Games is announcing a new game next week? Question mark. And so we don't know what that means yet because this article came out on the 16th. So that was as of today, 6 days ago. So we are almost to Monday. Will we see a new game announcement on Monday from Insomniac Games? I really don't see this being probable.
Please.
But it would be interesting if they did drop some announcement of something.
That would be awesome. At least be like, hey guys, we have this new game in the Marvel Universe or something like that. You know?
Or hey guys, Spider-Man 2 is a thing. It'll come.
Spider-Man 2 is a thing. I'll tell you that now. Like they've made so much money on this game.
Freaking game
already.
So good.
This is why EA should not have the sole rights to Star Wars. By God. Look at this. This is amazing. Amazing Disney Marvel production. And Disney Star Wars needs to be something way better than EA.
I agree.
This is great. Like, I hope this starts a whole ARG thing. Like, right off the bat. Like,
that'd be cool.
I mean, when they do an update, you could just add new stuff to this. And if you're playing the game... Like, I know
if
people are going to like
turn in that day and like somebody sees a little secret little tweet that pops up there.
Yes.
That'd be kind of cool. Yeah.
Like you have to, I think people are going to start scouring this game for stuff like that.
Yeah.
At this point.
Well, there's so many hidden secrets in there that like, if you like listen to the dialogue that he has for every backpack item you find,
oh yeah,
like, there's little secret like hints at like olden days of like just story bits related to like his universe.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's really cool. And then like the Stan Lee cameo, the Avengers Tower that's in there. Like I've seen Reed Enterprises, Rand Enterprises. I've seen Alice Investigations with Jessica Jones. Like this stuff is in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that to be super fascinating. And I'm really hoping that that's like, you know, they could take this in so many directions and introduce new characters and new things into this world. Like the Black Cat, you know, like hints and teaser side missions. Right. That's eventually going to become DLC.
Yes.
What if they have a DLC that involves Jessica Jones, or what if they have a DLC that involves Daredevil? Like that'd be sick.
It would be pretty awesome.
It'd be all about that life.
Oh, so excited. I hope this becomes a thing. I hope this is not just something in there. Like maybe it's just being like, oh, hey, it's like making fun of the Spider-Man game. Like, hey, there's a new game coming out next week. Spider-Man game.
Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah, no.
But that's probably, might be what it is. Who knows?
Yeah. That when I first heard it, that's like my immediate reaction was, oh, yeah, talking about Spider-Man, the game.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for the news we have this week, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us and listening to everything. If you have questions or want to contribute to next week's segment, please email us at hello@theinnergamer.net. We'll also have some of the most important news stories on youtube.com/innergamer this Thursday. Be sure and check that out. We'll be back after the break with our discussion topic.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
We're back. Our discussion this week, everybody, is going to be about the Nintendo Switch. The Switch is now entering into an online world. Yes, that's right. Nintendo Online is here. We want to explore our first impressions of the service and what the future can hold for it as we progress into 2019. They have a big lineup of games coming out, but for some reason, their stock has been having a little bit of trouble. We want to explore, can they sustain into 2019, and how will online impact that? So first up, let's talk about stock a little bit.
Wait, but weren't they already, like, I could play Splatoon online. What the heck? They didn't have online?
Oh, no, now you have to pay for it.
Oh, I'm not playing Splatoon anymore.
Yeah, why not?
Well, I would jump on every so often to play a few matches because...
aren't you going to buy the service?
I don't know yet.
You get cloud saves.
I don't know yet.
Oh, it's only $20.
I don't know yet.
Literally for a year, you pay $20.
Just to save my saves.
And play Splatoon online.
Ah. Brett, you're trying to convince me, aren't you?
And to talk to each other online.
I've never used that feature.
Imagine when we play Super Mario Party online, you won't be able to play it.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have to get together and
see each other
face to
face. I'm not playing that online. If I have a Switch, it needs to be... face to face with somebody. Okay, go
That's
ahead.
That's true.
Let's jump into the stock stuff.
Yeah, so there's some stock stuff here in that Nintendo's had some E3 announcements. They announced some stuff earlier this year. And for some reason in June, their stock has plunged 16%. So it's weird because like the public reactions of the Switch and Nintendo in general have been very, very high. But Electronic Arts and Blizzard this year surged, which they didn't do very well. EA, whenever they brought out Battlefield 5 stuff, they started suffering from that. But Take-Two Interactive was up 9%. So people are wondering, why is Nintendo slumping? It seems like we might have some investors disappointed by not having much big news from the E3 showcase. Into that, there's even less impact from like later on in this year. Like they're still like upset about the fact that there isn't a whole lot. And I was like concerned about that, but it seems like it's because the first party title is not being very strong.
Which kind of blows my mind. I am super hyped about everything Nintendo's doing right now.
Right.
Yet these numbers aren't reflecting that. Obviously we've kind of moved away from E3. More things have come to light, like all the stuff that's happening. It's funny to see investors not really want to invest. I don't know what kind of market that is for people who want to invest in Nintendo, like buy stock with Nintendo. But
yeah,
man, I feel like everything they're doing is so far right. They are a little rough around the edges, you know, but that's just Nintendo. Like some of this is just Nintendo.
Right.
But I mean, all these games coming out, I feel like we sell Switches, at least a Switch a day. Like, yeah. I feel like I'm always talking to someone every other day about a Switch and how awesome it is and how they should get it.
Nintendo, feel free to email us hello@thinnergamer.net and send us your check.
We take commissions.
We would love to take any money that you have to send us. But yeah, so like people are concerned that they're basically relying on Switch sales this year, only on Super Smash Brothers and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and then Super Mario Party, but more so Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Super Smash Brothers. And I didn't think about it in this perspective, in that, you know, PlayStation, what pushes consoles is first party titles, in their mindset. What pushes Microsoft consoles is not really first party titles. So I was like trying to think like what would push their consoles, but it's because a lot of people that buy a Xbox, they're buying it for the Madden games, the FIFA games, or the Call of Duty games. So they're buying third-party titles, Xbox, but if they are gamers that just play like a small selection of stuff, because there's a boatload of gamers out there, probably the majority of the audience that buys Call of Duty and like the sports games, they buy those two games exclusively and that's it, and they buy it on an Xbox.
Xbox message is a little different too. You know, they're like, we're the like, well, I don't know, I guess this has kind of changed recently, but it's been all about like, we are this, you know, all-in-one media center thing that you can get here and you have all this stuff.
Yeah.
And you don't have to really get anything else.
Yeah.
So
I just wonder almost if like people think that they can't get these games on the PlayStation for whatever reason. Like, I mean, cause like, I guess it's just, it feels as if, I guess Microsoft has always definitely been the one that's been pushing the, you know, has been pushing the sports games a lot.
Right.
So it's just always been like, you just kind of associate like an Xbox with sports games. But regardless, after thinking about the fact that that's how Microsoft pushes consoles, it gave more light to the fact that Nintendo has to be reliant on their first-party titles because they don't have any other third-party titles that have a significant enough profit margin to push new consoles. Because like all these indie games, like as many of them that are coming out, there's not enough of them because they're all lower price titles and they're not going to reach near the number of sales as say a Call of Duty or a Madden would. And I think Microsoft and PlayStation rely a lot heavily off of those big games that sell like exponentially larger amounts of sales than everything else does. So what that kind of leads us into is the fact that we now have Nintendo Online, which just came out this past week. And that should help boost their sales and hopefully make investor responses a little bit better, because now not only do they don't have to just rely on their first party titles sales anymore. They still have to, obviously, but like they also have this ongoing service that if good enough and if worth enough of investment will allow them to have a continuing revenue stream that lets them kind of offset the timeline in between first party titles being released.
Right.
So let's talk about that for a second. Nintendo Online.
Well, I guess I'll preface with
that. Go for it.
I've seen a lot of people on YouTube talk shit about this service. It's like you're only paying $20 to play online and you're not even going to play online that much. And then like you just get cloud saves and it's like, okay. And that I heard a lot of people talk about the all the classic games you can play on there. I know you have it, Brett. I haven't bought it yet, but how many classic games do they have? Do you know?
20.
20. Okay.
20 classic.
Are they like
games,
well rounded
later.
Well rounded amount like of diverse experiences.
Yes, they okay. are pretty good. Well, they are pretty well rounded. So I'm gonna back up a little bit and then we'll jump into the NES games. But I want to just cover generally what the Switch Online service gives you. So it came out with 6.0. So when 6.0 came out, what it included was the Nintendo Online service, which gives you the ability to, one, play online. So no longer can you play online with the exception of Fortnite. Fortnite's still free to play online. So you can do that, but everything else requires the online subscription to play games online. You also get cloud saves for compatible games. So that's something that I haven't quite figured out if it's automatic or if you have to like do it manually, because I read somewhere that, but it's just like, you know, I'm used to, I just don't know.
Right.
I'm not used to a Nintendo game having a cloud save. So I don't know what that experience is like.
Right.
So I need to research that to make sure that my things are actually being cloud saved. You also can no longer unlink your Nintendo account from your Switch user profile after the update. And then Nintendo Online, Switch Online gives you a free week of trial for 7 days. And then after that, it's $4 for a month, $8 for 3 months, or $20 for a 12-month period. And if you have families, you can get a 12-month plan for a family for $35. And then, of course, it comes with the classic NES game. So you have to download this app. And then once you download the app, you go into it, and it's basically a grid of the 20 games that are available. And you jump into them, and they have it really nicely designed. Because remember when Neo Geo came out with all those data dumps at the or game dumps at the beginning? They were like, they had like a menu overlay that was in the game, and then you jump into the emulator, and like the controls were kind of wonky for each game because it just wasn't well optimized. Well, any like Nintendo did a good job by making sure that you have an in-game menu with every game that you play. So if you press a certain button, I think it's the plus icon or whatever, it pops up like an overlay menu that wasn't actually part of the game itself.
Nice.
It also has 1 and 2 player, and it has online play. Okay. I don't know how the online play works with these NES games, but that is a thing that's in there.
Okay.
But it does have a good variety. So it's got things such as, let's see, let me go through a few of these. So some of the highlights are Mario Brothers, the original Legend of Zelda, Yoshi, Donkey Kong, and Super Mario Brothers. We also get some sports games such as soccer, tennis, ice hockey, pro wrestling, and baseball. And then there's other games like I play Excitebike, which I used to like playing that quite a bit. So you have Excitebike, you have a Balloon Fight, Dr. Mario, Ghosts and Goblins, Ice Climber, things like that. So there's a bunch of different types of things, but none of these games are things that I ever spent a whole lot of time on except for like Super Mario Brothers. So they do have Super Mario Brothers 1 and Super Mario Brothers 3. And then Donkey Kong, the original. So that's that. There's some good games in there that will be worth jumping back to for nostalgia. And like I said, the interface is really solid. In October of 2018, so they're going to continue to add to this. So hopefully it gets better as time goes on. And of course, they also have those Joy-Con controllers that are out now. So you can buy those Joy-Cons that are literally a replica of the original NES. So you don't have to be using your little tiny Joy-Cons. You can get this one and it docks on the side of your controller.
I think that's pretty sweet. Actually.
That is really sweet. So in October of 2018, they're going to add Open Tournament Golf, Solomon's Key, and Super Dodgeball. And then in November, they're going to add Metroid, Mighty Bomb Jack, and Twin B. And then December, they're going to have Adventures of Lolo, Ninja Gaiden, and Wario's Wood. So it seems like every month they're going to be releasing 3 new games to this library. So if they can keep that going, I mean, like, after 12 months, you're going to have 12 times 36 new games in your library that you can play from like old systems.
That's nice.
So I hope that they don't stick it with just NES, but start pulling in SNES and then N64.
GameCube.
Yeah.
So I don't know how this is going to work out because I don't have the original NES Classic. Like, what do they have on there? That's they don't have any like duplicate titles, right? Like, they actually have different titles. So I'm thinking like they'll probably come out with these classics and then have other either lesser known games or other games that they don't have on there and put them on the system for online. Because I think that makes sense as like a game plan overall. Because I would probably play some N64 games and I'd probably play some GameCube games.
They do actually have crossovers. I take that back.
But I wouldn't. I don't know if I would play NES. I might play a few SNES, but you know, I already have an issue going back and playing some of these older games. It just I played a few and like they're wonky, especially with controls. But I mean, if Nintendo's, you know, putting them on a Switch, it's going to be compatible in a way where it's not so weird. Like you were saying, like it's nice that this screen pops up. You know.
Really, on that note, the NES, like if you get Nintendo Switch Online, you're getting the majority of what came with the NES Classic.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Just looking at the list, it comes with Balloon Fight, Donkey Kong, Dr. Mario, Excitebike, Ghosts and Goblins, Ice Climber, Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 3, The Legend of Zelda. There's a few extras in here like Pac-Man, Ninja Gaiden's eventually going to come with it, and that was on this system. They didn't bring Mega Man 2, but if they bring that over, like you're really only missing like 5 or 6 games.
Wow.
With this.
Wow.
So that's not bad.
That's interesting. So I wonder how they're going to do their classics going forward. You know, because I'm sure they're going to have SNES stuff on there in a bit, and then they're going to have the N64 stuff on there, and they're going to have GameCube, and eventually hit the Wii. Well, I'm sure some Wii games already. No, they don't have any Wii games. Not that I know of.
No.
So, I mean, they have a lot to go off of.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean that's what I'm wondering about, because like, I mean, yeah, $20 to like basically like play online and stuff like that. There are some concern about that, but I get that they. I mean, with having cloud saves, that's really important, because like if you lose your Switch, like your games are gone.
Right.
Until you buy this service.
Right.
And then you can replace your Switch and still have your stuff. So I think that's worth a little bit of money to do that. Like I pay to back up to have cloud saves for my phone. I pay $2.99 a month. So I pay 3 times 12. That is whatever that comes out to, $36-ish. So I pay more to back up my phone than I do to back up my Switch.
Right.
But you're also getting games with this. So right. The value's there. Mm-hmm.
But I think, will you play those games? The question.
Yeah. I mean, I'll play a little bit. Yeah. I feel like I play enough to make a $10 amount worth it.
Right.
But then you got to remember that it's something that you're doing every year. So they have to continue to add to this.
Right.
And I could see them over time, like this is going to be the initial rate, but I can see them like every year as they expand their library, raising this price up just a little bit each year. So like it's $20 this year, but maybe like the end of next year, it'll move up to like $24.
Yeah.
And then they'll have like, because at that point they'll have 40 games in there. Yeah.
Go in at $40 at first or something like that. And then eventually it got to 60.
Yeah. 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 So I can see them raising the price of it over time, but as long as they add more features to it, it'll be totally worthwhile.
Right.
Because
they're going to have to add more features.
Yeah.
Like what they have now, I just don't think it's just not the system. It's not up to par to what we have with other things. It's very similar. Yes. Like I totally agree with that. But I think having like the whole thing when they were going to have, Splatoon, you can use your phone that connects to your Switch, it connects to something else and blah, blah, blah. And this whole web of cords you'd have in order to talk to someone online. And it's just like, it's stupid. But it's still in this system too. And it's just like, why can't we talk into the Switch or like, you know, just have a headphone jack for it, right? It's like little things like that, which I don't know if when they were making the Switch, looking forward, they knew that this was going to happen or they didn't think that they were going to go to this kind of system. And now you have to use your phone to do it. Like, it's some weird wonky stuff that I think people are really jaded by. But, I mean, the more that I've been researching Nintendo, the more, like, that's just Nintendo. And it's a caveat Nintendo carries with them.
Yeah.
This weird, like, not forward-thinking baggage or something and having to correct it later. At least that's what it seems like. Because having to use your phone to talk through.
Yeah.
Like, why not just use, I was going to say TeamSpeak, but Discord or something, you know? Why not just Google Hangout? Why not just call your friend if you want to play online and like talk to them? Why not just go to your computer and get on Discord?
Well, why would you want to do that? You want it portable.
Well, no, I'm saying like, why pay $20? Like, why have the chat system when included
other things out there
when you can easily just use anything else? That's exactly the same thing.
Well, I think there's an expectation that people have that they want it to be part of the ecosystem.
Oh, no, I agree.
Not everybody uses Discord. Not everybody uses this. So
I agree.
Having it built into that is important, but I don't think it should be in your phone.
Right.
Because it's just an added step to an added barrier to get started with playing with somebody online.
Exactly.
And I don't like that.
And I think that just detracts from like where we are now technologically.
Yeah.
As gamers, like,
yeah,
I think it's just detracting, but for some reason Nintendo's always been like one step behind, you know?
Yeah,
like great innovation, but then horrible like keeping up with everything, because like now they want to do cloud saves, and then eventually if you don't pay, like they get rid of that immediately while other companies keep your saved data for a while, you know what I mean? Well, I don't know how long they keep it for, you know, maybe a lifetime, but that seems to be an issue for Nintendo. Just seems like a lot of this stuff was kind of thrown together at the last minute. Like, we just got to have it, so how can we make it work? Just so we say we have it, you know? It kind of feels like they're checking off those tick boxes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I disagree with what all the naysayers out there personally. So I just looked at PlayStation Plus. If you pay $50 a year for PlayStation Plus, you get online access, two free games a month, and then cloud saves. Mm-hmm. $50 a month. Almost three times more than you would pay for Nintendo Switch Online. And Nintendo Switch Online, you're getting 20 games plus three new games a month after that. I mean, they're old games, yes. But it's still not... They could have easily made it $50, but they didn't and made it $20 instead for the exact same features, with the exception of their old games versus new games. So I think it justifies reducing that cost down significantly because you're not getting brand new games.
Right.
Because like PlayStation Plus is giving you like top dollar games. Like they brought out freaking, you know, Metal Gear Solid 5 a year and a half after it came out for free.
Yeah.
They bring out Destiny 2 this year. That's a $40 game at Amazon that's now free.
Mm-hmm.
So they give you a lot of big name games that are free. So it becomes like very worth it. Like if you just pay that subscription for a year, which is $50, you're easily, it's going to pay for itself after two free games that you like from that
right.
year of what would be 24 new games, right?
Right.
So, but with that said, I mean, like we were talking to Louise about this, and you do have to pay for these servers and this storage and stuff like that. So like they need somewhere to make up that money, and storage is cheap, but it's still, I mean, considering the amount of users that are on the Switch,
yes,
it's expensive.
Yes.
For that. So I don't think that there should be complaints about the cost of this. But I do think there needs to be some fixes for it.
I just
definitely
think it's a little,
with the chat and definitely yeah. with
it's rough around the edges. I think yeah. which is, I think that's where everyone's getting their panties in a bunch, basically, is that, you know, from the release of the Switch up to this point, we've had some like, okay, Nintendo, what the hell are you doing? Right? Like in this day and age, certain things that they've done is just like, come on, like get your, you know, you guys are just like doing your own thing, but you're not taking consideration of like where we are at technically. And then having them do some stuff like this is just like, come on, like, I don't know. Maybe we have it so good that some of the standard things that we see are so well done by these other companies. And then Nintendo comes along and just kind of like, what are you, you know, just dragging their feet, you know?
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, they made a big deal about like, oh, Nintendo Switch Online is coming out. This is happening. And then when it came out, it was just kind of like a lackluster
yeah.
thing.
Right.
I think we were expecting, I mean, a lot of people wanted, what do they call the thing from the last couple of systems? And the,
what?
The game thing that you could play old games on.
Oh, emulator?
No, it wasn't the emulator. Like Nintendo had a system that it had a name for it, and they would do, like it was with the last system, they were like hoping that it would come out with this
I don't know.
Switch, and instead they brought out an app,
oh.
you know, instead. That was not that.
That East, I don't know.
I don't know.
East or?
No, it's not that.
I know.
I'll keep looking for it. But yeah, so I think people were kind of bummed that they didn't get as much of what they've had in previous games, because I mean, apparently in old games, like they did have a good size library on like the Wii U
mm-hmm.
to play other games.
So other people had like libraries of older games, and now they have to start all over again with Nintendo, basically.
I don't know if it's much of that. It's just that they virtual console. That's
okay.
what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the virtual console. So the virtual console was you know, I think people were hoping for that because with it you had all the classic games that you could download. And I think you downloaded them individually so you could pick and choose what you wanted. Yeah, so there was just a good size library, but they weren't just NES games. They were DS, 64 games, NES, and Super NES. So you had a lot of games to choose from. Mm. And I think they were hoping for that. Now, granted, you did have to buy those games. So like 1080 right. Snowboarding, for example, was $10 from the 64. So in this case, I do kind of like that you don't have to buy those games.
Right. Well, these games are so old now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess that's a trade-off. I feel like that all those will be coming. It's just going to take some time, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, hell, there might be other iterations of the Switch at that point.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's just not that powerful of a console. Like, a lot of this, like, why isn't communication built into the Switch?
I think that's why communication isn't built in, because of the power.
Right. Is so like obviously there's trade-offs and stuff, and the Switch is still an amazing console for, you know, the things that it's done is pretty mind-blowing.
I bet
so I don't know. Still,
I bet at the onset or the end of 2019 or the onset of 2020, we're going to see a Switch 2 come out.
I heard people say there will never be another Switch. This is it.
I bet they're going to do some kind of update to it in some capacity to make it a little bit stronger.
See, if they come out with like a Switch XL like they do with the 3DS,
yeah,
you know, I think that would be perfect. Now, I do think the Switch is like form factor is actually pretty solid where it's at right now. But I don't know, maybe they'll add other stuff. That's why it's like they're trying to supplement the audio, the communication with this, with the phone, which I think is just BS. They do have room to grow. And I'm curious to know like where they go. But Nintendo likes to stay in its bubble for whatever reason. So yep. Like I have hopes, but I don't know where we're going. It is nice that though the indie scene has grown so much with the Switch, and that's literally I feel like that's what's made them so big overall, at least in my eyes. Like
yeah,
we don't have all the freaking AAA titles, and they really don't have or their first party games, but they don't really have a huge amount of first party games, you know.
And they're still bringing them out pretty consistently though. I mean I agree, but like they're. You know, as much as people like go to hate about it, like they're still releasing one a month. That's like a pretty big name game in some capacity.
Right.
It may not be for us, but like Dragon Quest came out this last month and that's a big game to a lot of people. And they think for some people that's bigger than even Mario, you know? So that's kind of a big deal. Next month we get Super Mario Party. So, and then we're going to get Super Smash Bros. In the year.
Right.
So, like, there's big games that are happening. Oh, and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee in November. Yeah. So, like, that's four titles that are coming out in a period of a month or every month. And, like, PlayStation, we got, three first-party titles this year, four first-party titles. Right. Obviously, bigger, more massive games. But I think we just have weird expectations about stuff.
Right.
And
I mean, Nintendo's weird, too. So, I mean, that's another issue.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not an issue. It's just like something that
they're different. They like to do things differently.
You know, PlayStation and Xbox are pretty uniform in the way they bring out content.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, something big is going to come out. It's always around the corner. I mean, same with Nintendo. I mean, obviously the Switch, look how big that is. But it's just like, I don't know. They do stuff in their own time and they're in their own way, which I think throws a lot of people through a loop. At least it throws me through a loop.
Yeah.
I haven't been keeping up with Nintendo since N64.
Yeah.
GameCube-ish. So... Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, so Nintendo Online is here. It's here to stay. Let us know what y'all think of the Nintendo Switch online service. Does it offer what it needs to? Does it need more stuff? Do you think that having the ability for it to add new content as time goes on will make it better? Do you want, do you actually want Virtual Console to exist where you had to pay per game? One thing I didn't mention also is that when you buy games on the Switch, you know how you get tokens, golden points and stuff like that for every game purchase?
Oh, yeah.
That can be applied to your Switch Online purchase.
Oh.
So you could theoretically, it requires a lot of money.
Right,
but can discount your Switch Online service by buying other games. So that's a cool feature. So
the more you buy, the more you play.
Exactly. So, let us know what you think's missing or what can enhance the Nintendo Online system. And then the Switch in general, what are your hopes for 2019? Do you think they're going to do, do they need some big, huge, heavy hitter next year? And if so, what should that be? Let us know in the comments. I mean, we are getting Metroid next year, so that's a big thing. Let us know. And that's going to conclude our discussion topic this week. So if there's something that you want to hear us talk about, please let us know at hello@theinnergamer.net. If you like what you hear, please give us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts. And we'll be right back with our video game releases.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Looking forward to next week. Let's talk about our upcoming video game releases. We have two games coming out, and I am freaking ticked off because literally... Okay, so let me just talk about how behind I am on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to make it even worse. So, September 27th, we have on PS4, Xbox One, and PC, the sequel to the exciting... So we are losing Telltale Games, which I'm very sad about. But that doesn't mean that it's all over for these types of games. Don't Nod Entertainment is taking those reins and coming out with Life is Strange 2, Episode 1. It is here.
It is here.
A different story, but same kind of mindset, deal, process. Two brothers on the run. They are running away from their home after a tragic incident in Seattle in fear of the police. Sean and Daniel head to Mexico while attempting to conceal a sudden and mysterious supernatural power. Then on October 2nd on PC and Xbox One, featuring Xbox's Play Anywhere system, Forza Horizon 4. Dynamic seasons change everything at the world's greatest automotive festival. Go it alone or team up with others to explore beautiful and historic Britain in a shared open world. Collect, modify, and drive over, this is not a lie, 450 cars. Race, stunt, create, and explore. Choose your own path to become a Horizon superstar. Austin's going to join me in this Horizon Superstar journey, and it's going to be fantastic and amazing. We're going to put in like 150,000 hours in this game, and it's going to be epic.
Someone's excited, and it's not me.
Ah, sorry. It's too bad. Yeah. And that's going to wrap up our show this week, everybody. Thank you all for listening. Be sure and check us out next Tuesday for more from our favorite video game podcast. Visit theinnergamer.net for our latest episodes, blogs, videos, and social channels. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or tell a friend. And don't forget, October 3rd, we have an event at Fort Brewery in Fort Worth. It'll be happening from roughly 6 to 10 o'clock. And there will be beer, there will be pizza, there will be wine, there will be video games, and all the fun stuff. So you should definitely come out and check that out.
We also have a Patreon set, for which is a way our listeners to donate to the cause in order to bring you all great content you want to see and hear. Even $1 a month will help us keep this content coming at you every week. Plus, if you support us, we have some awesome rewards waiting for you, such as being a guest on the podcast, getting exclusive content. So head on over to theinnergamer.net and click donate to contribute.
Donate.
Donate. Go Nate. I don't know why I hear that.
Donate.
Donate. Go Nate. Anyway, I'm Austin Morales.
I'm Brayden Oski.
And you're listening to the Gamer Podcast, guys. We'll catch you next week.
Austin, you should cue that music.
I'm cueing it now. Wait, no. Brett, how do you cue it again? Show me.
You got to press this button, and then it's a big red button, and it says...
It says do not touch, and
it says destroy, and then when you press that button, it destroys everything. But then it cues music.
The fat lady sings?
The fat lady sings.
Okay. That's a real song, by the way.
Is it really?
No.
And we are back.
Oh, geez. Start it over.
Today, we are here.
No, we're not here. We're nowhere. You only have like two outros that you do every time. Bye, Felicia. Flip, flip, flip. Bye, Felicia. Flip, flip. Bye, Felicia.
Flip, flip, flippity flip. Flip, 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 flip. Flip, flip, flip.
What is that? The fuck is that, Brett? Why do people listen to this podcast?
Because
not for that.
Voices and noises.
No, absolutely not.